This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Digest with Tina Camilla, Sharmila Ganesan and Sumitra Selvaraj. On the show this Friday afternoon, the 14th National Laureate was announced by Education Minister Mazli Malik earlier this week. We'll find out more about Siti Zainon Ismail and the selection process involved.
And we'll also share with you how a student took matters into her own hands simply because she didn't agree with what they were making her read in school.
So on that note, in all the bookishness of today's show, we're asking you on Twitter, do you make a point of reading books with diverse characters? So your options are yes, no, or it doesn't matter to me. You can take that poll or join the conversation at BFM Radio on Twitter. Or you can also WhatsApp us at 01878988899 or call us at 03773332900.
First up, you can't judge a book by the cover, by the stripes, BFM 89.9.
The bigger picture on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Pada hari ini saya akan mengumumkan penerima Anugerah Sastra Negara ke-14. Anugerah ini dikurniakan oleh Kerajaan Malaysia kepada sastra yang menulis dalam bahasa Melayu dan telah memberikan sumbangan yang cemerlang dan berterusan dalam perkembangan kesusastraan tanah air melalui ciptaan karya kreatif, pemikiran dan kegiatan sastra yang bermutu tinggi. Pemilihan tokoh ini adalah berdasarkan sumbangan tokoh melalui karya dan pemikiran, sumbangan terhadap pengembangan sastra, impak dan penyebaran ilmu. Kepimpinan dalam persatuan sastra, impak pada peringkat kebangsaan dan juga di peringkat antarabangsa, serta penghargaan dan pengiktirafan yang telah diterima oleh tokoh tersebut. Panel telah mengadakan mesyuarat penilaian untuk meneliti sumbangan serta kekuatan calon. Panel dengan pandangan dan nasihat daripada sastrawan-sastrawan negara yang lain. Kita tidak mengenepikan pandangan sastrawan-sastrawan negara yang terdahulu, yang mana mereka juga telah terlibat memberikan sumbang saran dan nasihat. Maka dengan segala sumbang saran dan nasihat oleh sastrawan-sastrawan negara terdahulu, maka panel yang telah mengamanahkan kepada saya sebagai pengerusi akhirnya telah memilih Siti Zainon bin Ismail sebagai penerima Anugerah Sastra Negara ke-14 yang membawa gelaran Sastrawan Negara. Penghargaan dan penghormatan negara yang akan diberikan oleh kerajaan kepada Siti Zainon binti Ismail ialah Warkah Penghormatan Negara, wang tunai sebanyak RM60,000, penerbitan sebanyak 50,000 naskah buku atau harga buku berjumlah maksimum RM500,000 untuk dibeli oleh kerajaan dan disebarkan dengan luasnya ke sekolah, perpustakaan, jabatan dan agensi kerajaan, kemudahan perubatan percuma dalam buat kelas 1 di mana-mana hospital kerajaan, kemudahan untuk kegiatan mencipta karya sastra, kemudahan untuk penerbitan karya dan penterjemahan karya yang sesuai ke dalam bahasa asing dan allowance sara hidup sebanyak RM5,000 sebulan.
So that was Education Minister Mazli Malik announcing that Professor Dr. Siti Zainon Ismail is Malaysia's 14th National Laureate. So on the Daily Digest today, we'll find out more about her work.
So Siti Zainon is only the second woman recipient of the prestigious award. The first was the 13th Laureate, Dato' Zurina Hassan, who was named in 2015. Now, you might be surprised that there's a four-year gap between the announcement of the 13th and 14th National Laureates. We'll get to the selection process in a little bit, but first, a little bit about Siti Zainon. She was born 69 years ago in Gombak, Kuala Lumpur. She received her BA in Fine Arts from the Indonesia Fine Arts Academy in the early 70s before receiving an MA from the University Kebangsaan Malaysia and her PhD in 1992 from University Malaya.
So though she wears many hats, she's best known as an author. Mm. And she's written several novels, including the work that she's known best for, Pulau Rene Ungu, which was in 1995. Mm. In total, though, she's written 3 novels, 10 collections of short stories, 25 collections of poetry, and has edited 7 short story anthologies and 5 poetry anthologies. She has also written 18 academic works, 21 essays on literary research, and 21 monographic essays, mainly on Malay literature and the traditional arts. Mm.
And now a little bit about the National Laureate Award. It was first awarded in 1981, and it was conceptualized after calls from the then Prime Minister Tun Hussein Onn to create a prestigious prize to elevate the literary standards in our country. The selection process is handled by the National Literature Awards Secretariat, chaired by the Dewan Bahasa dan Pustaka (DBP), under the supervision of the Ministry of Education. The selection panel also sought the advice from other national laureates to shortlist their candidates, who must be individuals who have contributed significantly to Malay literature. The panel's final choice has to be submitted to the Education Minister, who then has to get the consent of the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. The prize is not awarded every year. Only 14 laureates have been named, including the late Karismas, who was the first recipient, the late Usman Awang in 1983, and of course, A. Samad Said in 1986.
So there are eight living national laureates, right? Including Siti Zainun. And they receive a living allowance of 5,000 ringgit a month, a cash award of 60,000 ringgit, and the publication of 50,000 books to a maximum value of 500,000 ringgit, or half a million. The books will also be bought by the government and given to schools, libraries and government agencies.
They also receive free medical services in first-class wards in any public hospitals in the country, and free facilities for literary activities that they might want to conduct. So these include things like the publication of works and translation of works into foreign languages. They are also part of the Laureate in Faculty program, where national laureates are brought into universities as guest lecturers. So the award will be presented to Siti Zainun on September 21st by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong Al Sultan Abdullah Ria Yayu Tudin Al Mustafa Billah Shah, and this will happen at the Istana Hotel in Kuala Lumpur.
So the award has got quite, it comes with a lot of privileges. I think that's really good.
It is, but you know, it got me thinking about the fact that, you know, there's a lot of money that comes in, and there's money that comes in specifically towards the printing of books and the publication of new books, right? In general, these national laureates, like with the Nobel Prize winners in literature, they tend to be older writers. I always wonder whether, you know, that the cash award is given to them so late in their lives, whether it would have been more beneficial to them earlier on in their lives.
In their mid-career.
Correct. You know, when we talk about the idea of the struggling writer and what difference it would have made. Like, if you look at the Nobel Prize for Literature as well, almost the average age of the laureates is something like in their 70s.
Yeah. But I think the challenge is that something like the Nobel for Literature or our Sastrawan Negara Award is awarded for a body of work versus like a Man Booker or a Pulitzer Prize, which is awarded for a book or a work.
But what constitutes a body of work? Is it three stellar books that changes the world, or does it have to be 30?
Well, you know, if you look at Siti Zainun's writing, obviously it's many, many, many things. But I think that's an interesting question, right? Yeah. How much is a body of work?
What constitutes a body of work?
But the general way of looking at it would mean you'd have to have had a pretty long career before you have a body of work that you can judge someone by, right?
Right. I mean, I remember, I think the early laureates, they were in their 40s when they got their awards.
Yes,
now,
For the Malaysian laureates?
Yes, that's
I remember Rudyard Kipling was an outlier. He was something like 40, 41 when he was...
When he won the Nobel.
Yes, and okay. Yeah.
Did it change his? I mean, it's hard to make a comparison, right? Whether if you won it in your 40s versus in your 70s, whether
I can imagine if you're already a talented writer, if you've already got this, you know, all this inspiration and ideas inside you, if you did get that award, for example, when you're in the 40s, what it might have done to further your career,
right?
But you know what makes me slightly disappointed. I don't mean to be a downer when we're celebrating someone's win, but really, that's a significant amount of investment in terms of facilities and finances that they're putting into our national laureate.
Yes.
But to what end? Because I feel like, and you know, I'm not saying that it shouldn't be in the Malay language or anything like that. Absolutely, it makes sense for it to be in the Malay language.
Yes.
But how is it that with this many resources put into raising the profile of these people, so much of Malaysia still remains they're not really known to everyone in Malaysia, right?
Yes.
There should be, you know, there should be more of an effort to bring them into spaces or events that are not just for the academics or for the people who are already reading our right. sastra.
Exactly. And, you know, if you are going to be giving somebody a cash prize to be able to print 50,000 books that are going to libraries that nobody is visiting anyway, then the priorities are all a little bit wrong. Mm.
And you don't really see them in, I mean, we have two kinds of book or literary festivals in Malaysia, right?
Yes.
We have the ones that are very cultural, very government organized, mm-hmm. and, you know, and then we have the more indie crowd.
Mm.
And the two never meet. I'd love to see, I mean, other than, say, Pak Samat, who, you know, kind of crosses these boundaries so
straddles
easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see, you know, Dato' Zarina Hassan or even Siti Zainun now, at like one of these cool young festivals, just because they should be there. We need to get to know them as well. And it's a whole new audience.
Because there is a market. There is an audience.
Mm. Exactly. Like, I mean, I remember, I think it was in the mid-2010s, right, when the indie publishers came. Like, you have Buku Fixi.
Legend. Yeah.
Legend,
we have Dubuk. Yeah.
And they published a lot of these Malay literature, including, they have, like, for Fixi, they have Fixi Retro.
Yeah. They did Usman Awang.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They did, if I'm not mistaken, they did Esam Matsaid, but I'm not sure. Mm. And yeah, but with like cool covers.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it was attractive. And a lot of people that I know who don't even read Malay books were reading them. And mm-hmm. and I think that kind of, it breathed a new life into these works, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, on that note, I really like to know, when was the last time you read a Malay book? And what was it?
The last time I read a Malay book, now I'm going to be slightly embarrassed because I don't remember the title, because it's a collection of short stories.
Okay.
But it's by he's a very well-known sort of indie Malay language writer, Ridwan Saidi. He also writes theatre.
Mm.
But yes, I got a collection of his short stories. It's like writings, essay, short stories from a book event I went to.
Mm.
And I loved it. He's a really good, like, he writes the kind of fiction that most people will not associate with being in the Malay language. You know,
no.
it's not like, it's very gritty, urban, very slumber kind of language, which I think more people who are maybe primarily English speakers should realize there's actually a lot of writing like that.
Mm.
Yeah.
I read a lot of Malay work when I was in primary school, and then later in secondary school. I was really fortunate to have Adiba Amin as one of my teachers, and she was a huge influence on me. In fact, she was such an influence on me, I got to the point when I was 16, 17, I wanted to go on to do STPM in Malay literature, but because I came from the science stream, I was discouraged by my school. Because they said, well, no, you've done all of your SPM in science already. Why would you want to go over? And it was a shame, because, and I think the last book that I read was probably one of Adiba Amin's old ones, Saroja Masedi Kolama. Perhaps that.
What about you, Tina?
Well, there are a few. Right now, I'm reading Faiza Tehrani's Professor.
Ah.
But one of the more recent ones is Yang Nakal Nakal, Usman Awang, which is a bit, well, it's a little bit cheeky.
Yeah.
Just
right.
By,
like
just
the,
by
title.
The title. Yeah. That's a good one. That's from Buku Fixi Retro as well. Another one from Fixi Retro was a republication. I think it was the first time they published into a book, Piramli's Sitora Harimau Jadian, which is quite interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good
that's
one.
That's a good one.
So that's interesting to think about. Who will we see on future laureate lists?
Mm.
How will Malaysian writing...
I know, yeah.
Malaysian writing, how will it evolve in the years to come?
Especially with this style of, like, the kind of style that seems to be published by these independent publishers seem to have this more urban Malay
very
style.
Different from the Dewan Bahasa Pustaka publications, right? So we had Ikwan WhatsApp in and say that as an 80s kid, a book by Dubuk Press is nice. The title is called Tora Datang Lagi. And I think it's Tora the
yes.
Yeah. And it's all about one of the 80s kids' toys and lifestyle. Very nice one, he says. Thank you for that recommendation.
Yes. I will put it on my to read list on Goodreads. Yeah, but what Sumitra was saying earlier about Who might be our next national laureate?
Wouldn't it be nice to see grittier writing, a different...
So I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, when Faisal Tehrani, who you just mentioned, was sort of bandied about as a nominee for the national laureate
was
this year.
Was he?
He was, and that was quite surprising because, you know, he's always considered to be a bit controversial.
Yes, that's right.
The other thing that I was hoping might happen, even though I'm very happy that we have another female writer to add to our list of laureates, was that they were saying we could potentially have seen our first non-Malay sastrawan negara, Jong Chian Lai of Sarawak.
Okay.
Because really, the only qualification should be that you write in Malay, right?
Yes,
you don't
absolutely
have to be Malay.
Nope.
And that would be nice. I would like to see it become a more diverse field.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. So I think you can let us know what was the last Malay book you read and when was that? And we also have a Twitter poll on a related topic.
Yes, we are all about reading today. We are asking you on Twitter, do you make a point of reading books with diverse characters? Yes, no, or it doesn't matter to me. So you can take that poll or you can share your thoughts on Twitter at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or you can call us at 03-7733-2900.
Up next, more about books. Meanwhile, here's Ain't No Mountain High Enough by Marvin Gaye on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.